hip. Here we are, episode 32, the 2018 Sir Walter Mauler recap episode. Thanks for sticking with us for all these episodes during the 2018 Sir Walter Mauler season. It has been a lot of fun just leading up and then, of course, the day of the race. If you're listening to this, I assume you were there. If not, come next year. But before we get started, we wanted to list off some of the sponsors that helped make this happen. And with that, I'm going to introduce my co-host here, Mr. Sandy Roberts.
Pat, I'm still in the post-Sir Walter Hayes. Like, what just happened?
Your voice sounds a little better than a few days ago.
I had a nice baritone. It's coming back to its tenor. But, yeah, without question, incredible weekend. We'll get to a little of that. But let's just go ahead and jump in. There was four in particular that we want to talk about. Waverly Hematology Oncology, Dr. Mark Graham, his wife Lanita, and son Thomas Graham. Big supporters have been, this is their year too. Could not do a lot of what we do for the athletes, not only in prize purse, but also in travel without their help. North Carolina USATF, United States Association of Track and Field, governing body, with the help of long-distance chair Jordan Swig.
Yeah, they've been helping us for multiple years now. We certainly appreciate being able to put on what we feel is certainly one of the premier meets in North Carolina with their help. So thanks, guys.
And then also Bone and Joint Clinic, which is right there on Wake Forest Road with Dr. David Jones, also Dr. Rob Jones as well. A great orthopedic surgery and orthopedic clinic on the whole. And he was our on-site doctor as well. His daughter was one of our interns, but appreciate this is their be their first year joining. Yep. And really appreciate the help they provided. On a local front, the Greater Raleigh Sports Alliance with Scott Dupree and Ashley Kirk. This is, again, maybe second or third year. Second year. Third?
Maybe third. Yeah. Well,
we'll give it to them. Give you the benefit of the doubt. It's their third year. Have been a supporter, again, as we've kind of jumped onto the sports scene and have obviously a very unique event in the overall Greater Raleigh Sports Alliance calendar. It's an honor to have them there. And if I can go ahead and throw out Andrew Baker of Visit Raleigh, join us at our dinner. I was a guest of Ashley Kirk. So, Andrew, it's great to have you. Visit Raleigh again. That's what we tell our people when they come. Visit Raleigh.
For sure. And next up will be Home Advisor. They were a new sponsor this year, so thanks, Home Advisor, for stepping in. Longtime sponsor, Elliptigo. Yes. Mr. Jeff Karen certainly works for them, and you probably saw the Elliptigo van at Sir Walter and around Raleigh this weekend. Trophy Brewing, very thankful for what these guys do for us, kind of on the scenes and behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. Helped us out with the dinner, you know, gave us some beverages, and they're kind of always there whenever we're doing our, you know, kind of pre-event parties up at Runology. They're mm-hmm. always there to supply for us. But we will be having our little post-race party with the interns Saturday at Trophy Pizza and Brewing on Morgan. Right. So thanks, Trophy. Arrow Haircuts, yeah. Pete, Steve, the whole crew, Andy, giving the athletes complimentary cuts when they're in town, certainly. Sandy and I's favorite barber as well.
I got a Ridgewood.
I got a Ridgewood as well. Steve, my guy. Shout out. Shop Local Raleigh, Jen and the crew, thank you for helping us out with insurance for the rundown and more. New sponsor this year, Rise Cameron Village. Gosh. David Dowdy and the crew hooked us up. Hit the Rise and Run with the Pros. Man, that was awesome. Those little baby chicken biscuits. Oof. Gregory Poole, longtime supporter as well. They hook us up with that scaffold that FlowTrack films on. JDL Fast Track, Craig Longhurst, David Shannon, putting up that money for the state record bonus. Narrowly missed this year.
Gosh.
A couple hundredths of a second. But thanks for kicking in, guys. Mm-hmm. Big Spoon Roasters were new this year. We had those apricot pepita bars for all the athletes at dinner, along with the Pine State coffee that Lars hooked us up with.
I've been living off those the past week.
They're very good. Anderson Painting.
Yes, Anderson. Nate Anderson and Meg Anderson. Formerly, Megan Coombs ran at NC State along with her brother, Gavin Coombs, a local connection there. They were very generous and helped us with our VIS, I'd say, spectator stand, if you will, right there at the finish. So appreciate Anderson Painting.
Sure. Next up, Runology, of course, hosted the athlete dinner for the first time this year, which was really cool. We kind of converted that space into a restaurant for all the athletes. Lots of fun. Couple other host sponsors, of course, Raleigh Brewing for the pre and post party, and of course, Meredith College, where we have hosted this meet every year now, mm-hmm. 5 years deep. So thank you to all you guys, corporate and, you know, people that have helped us as well beyond that. Of course, the Portland track folks were in this weekend, the Rice family. Thank you very much. But Sandy, I where are you at right now?
I mean, again, I think I said it best when I said I'm still in a haze. A haze of excitement, exhaustion, disbelief, thrilledness. I mean, I don't even know all the adjectives to describe what we saw. Pat, looking back, let me just, again, people know the results. Three women under, 13 men under.
Actually, more than three, Sandy.
Five.
Correct.
There we go. See, yeah, now look at the results.
Two first-timers, five
that's right,
total.
That's right. Five total, women under 4:30, 13 men under 4 minutes. Look at the names. So exciting. Pat, what was your most, looking over the weekend, what thing do you look at as the highlight for you?
I think every year it changes a little bit, and there's a lot of things. And one thing to note, before we, you know, kind of wax poetic too much, on this episode today, we will have Jacob Thompson and Sarah Vaughn joining us. Jacob, of course, first time sub four. Sarah, first time 4:30. And those are the kind of stories that I like the most, mm-hmm. is the people that are breaking through. I think one thing our race was founded on, and one thing we continue to do every year, is try to help people hit those goals. This year, of course, the Pacers did an excellent job.
Excellent.
Both Jamie Morrissey and Jesse Garn on the men's side just really set the table for these people to break through, and they did. And it just, when both the men's and women's race are as solid as they were, everybody's in a great mood. It translates into fun post-party, of course, a fun run with the pros the next day, and just general, you know, kind of good vibes. So, you know, pinpointing one thing is tough, but, you know, just looking at the way the whole event was run, you know, I couldn't be more thankful for our team. Of course, you hear a lot from Sandy and I here, but we have a humongous crew.
Yeah, we do.
Including Jeff Karen on the women's coordinator side, Logan and Stephen First on the men's coordinator side. Stephen stepped into that role this year. People like Michelle Ames, who's been helping from day one, all of our host families, there's plenty of those, and then our huge team of interns. So we've got a lot of folks that kind of make this happen, and every year there's a few more people involved, and it's fun. You know, we Sandy and I could not do this by ourselves, mm-hmm. so seeing the team work together to produce an event kind of like that, it's just the whole weekend coming together with very little issues, is it's a lot of fun to witness.
I know, and of course, Pat, as you know, if you were in Raleigh on that Friday, this past Friday, monsoon-like conditions, probably up till around like 4, almost 5 o'clock, which made set up a challenge, but I think probably got a lot of people nervous as, man, are we going to be running a mile or swimming one, you know? And and so I know, you know, of course, we've done a weather check all week. It looked like we were going to get bypassed. And lo and behold, not only was the weather incredible, but between, what, let's say 6 and well, the rest of the night, there was absolutely no rain.
Yeah, the second it stopped raining, we got out there with the squeegees, the brooms, the leaf blower.
Yes.
And luckily, it did not rain again. And, you know, one of the nice things about that rain is it pushed everything that could have been on that track off. We had a beautiful track to run on that night, and people took advantage of it, starting from the Run Club relay, or excuse me, the Run Club miler to the Run Club relays, and then, of course, setting the table for the big one.
Yeah, no, absolutely amazing night. Just, I mean, of course, the turnout was great. I thought, for the most part, we had a very ruley crowd and you know, of course, cheering. And it was great to have Jesse Squire, who was kind of our MC extraordinaire for the night. All in all, I look back and I think, man, fifth year, you know, someone says, I was told by someone that fifth year is kind of a good barometer of where an organization or event's going. Is there still continued to build, or is there starting to see some regression? And I think from the performances to the excitement to the excellence to our team, I can say the state of Sir Walter Myler within Sir Walter Running is indeed very strong. And I'm excited for the years to come. So, boom.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we will hit a few things real quick here just in case you missed it. We do mm-hmm. want to give some quick shout outs. Of course, the Run Club Myler, the winner on the men's side. A name you've heard here before, Matt Staley, taking the win in 4:27.7, holding off Christian Daniel and Evan Gates. On the women's side, we had, where is she? There she is. Kristen Andrews. You might know her from former Sir Walter Myler champion, Robbie Andrews. That was mm-hmm. his sister. She ran a 4:48.92 as part of the Runology team, which took the team win there. And of course, on the Run Club 4x4 relay, we had 23 teams finish.
Goodness
so
gracious.
Lots of competition there. And the winner there, of course, was the winner also of our fall city championship in cross country.
Bond Brothers.
Bond Brothers, yes. Trophy was the runner up. Godiva was third. But Bond Brothers, 359.45. So
they broke four.
They got that sub four going in the right direction before everybody else did. So just to hit too, we'll go ahead and hit the people that broke that special barrier. Of course, in fifth on the women's side, returner Kate Van Buskirk ran a 428.67, representing Nike. Nicole Cifuentes, also a Canadian with Kate there, 427.81. Third, Corey McGee, representing New Balance Boston, 427.78. Second, representing NYAC, that's the New York Athletic Club, 427.31. That's Sarah Vaughn, who we'll talk to here in a little bit. And then the winner, bumping up in distance, representing Adidas in a time of 427.28, Charlene Lipsey. That was a fun race down.
Goodness.
If you haven't looked at those pictures, whether they're from newcomer Brian McGee, who had some incredible photographs, or tried and true warrior, Mr. Jason Honeycutt.
Jason Honeycutt.
Incredible picks. Make sure you check out his photos on Facebook. He just took some awesome ones. If you look at any athlete that ran the race this weekend, they are posting a lot of these on Insta with some nice things to say about the race and their weekend in Raleigh. So thank you, Jason. Thanks for just cranking out the awesome pictures and putting them out in a very timely manner.
Yes.
So, Sandy, we talked about the women.
Yeah.
Incredible race. We're going to talk about the men's race here real quick, too.
You're going to read all 13 names?
We might as well. I don't think we will read every little bit here. We'll hit everybody that was under four, and then we'll mention the top three in a little bit more detail, yeah. And of course the newcomers. But as mentioned by Jesse Squire at the Track Superfan on Twitter, this was the first time 13 Americans had ever broken four in one race. We bested the time. I think the previous record was 11 in the Prefontaine Classic from 1994, so pretty good company.
I think it was tied between Falmouth in the 90s and then more recently.
Falmouth had 10 a couple years ago, okay. So we bumped them up a little bit. And Falmouth, of course, that was one of those races that I ran the road race in 2010. That's where I met Jeff Karen on the bus, just fellow track fans, and went out and watched that mile. I believe Nick Willis and Russell Brown ran back and forth at maybe one in 355 or something. But that was the first kind of thing I'd ever seen like this, and certainly put that kind of seed in our head that we could do an event like this. So fun to be kind of mentioned in the same vein of Falmouth and pre-classic for sure. But let's run down that list of the 13 guys that went under. Christian Serratos was the last guy in there, which tells you if you're coming in 13th and running sub four, it was a pretty decent race.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob Thompson, who we're going to talk to today, that was his first time under in 357.07, so went way under. Graham Crawford, of course, local. This is his third year in running Sir Walter, 3 years in a row, sub four, so he's doing pretty well. Robert Demanik was 10th. Charlie Marquardt, big story there. Charlie was the guy that at Adrian Martinez dove for the line, missed it by like 0.2 or 3 seconds. He ran a 355.97 on Friday night, so way under. Nice work, Charlie. 8th, Hassan Mead, of course. He had a 4-second PR. Had fun talking to him on the podcast as well. Sean McGordy was 7th, just finished up at Stanford. North Carolina's favorite mustache man, Craig Engels, 6 in 355. 5th, Olympian Ben Blankenship, 354. Pat Casey was 4th, also was on the podcast, ran a nice 354. Sam Prakel, also on the podcast, you see where we're going here. Yeah, he was 3rd, 354 with a PR there. Johnny Gregoric returned to Sir Walter after a year break in 2nd, 354. And then the winner, representing Nike, Bowerman Track Club, the 2012 Olympic flag bearer, 2-time Olympian, Mr. Lopez Lemong, in a time of 353.86. So, big group, a lot of fun. If you haven't seen those pictures, check them out. Both these races, men's and women's, are off the paywall now, so you can check them out. Go to SirWalterMiler.com, look at the results section, and we do have links there. We've got the press release, all that kind of fun stuff. There's been some articles. If you haven't checked out that video that ABC 11 did, make sure and check that. That's a fun little video of the races, and of course, tells a little of the history as well. Lots of good stuff. Runner's World did a piece. It's all
Portland Track
up on the site.
Did a little little recap on kind of their top five impressions, which we loved having Craig Rice, you know, me director, his wife Leanne, of course Paige was working with us for the year too. So yeah, just some great feedback and press following that epic night.
Sure. And yeah, it goes without saying, thank you, Raleigh, all the fans that listen to this, for telling your friends, your people at the Run Club. If you just kind of look on social media, you'll see the athletes love this race. And the mm-hmm. reason that they do is because Raleigh comes out in full force. You support this race. You make these athletes want to come. And we really couldn't thank you enough for showing up, you know, reading the bios, listening to the podcast. When we get to the Jacob Thompson interview later, you know, I think that's what he said was cool, is talking to a lot of knowledgeable fans who knew what was going on. So, guys, we're going to keep doing this thing as long as you guys care.
That's right. And just, you know, seeing the crowd come out even with the threat of some rain. Again, for our fifth year, I still feel like we're building momentum. People are coming up, bringing their non-track friends, people flying in from Chicago just to come be a part of the weekend. Crazy. I feel honored when people make a journey like that to come be a part, because they've heard how awesome it is. I think that really proves what a cool running community this is.
Definitely. Speaking of, Sandy, you asked me, I gave you kind of a long-winded answer. What was something that really got you excited about this weekend?
Oof. Yeah, man. I'll tell you this, I still get the most excited when people come up to me, and had a couple of folks do it and say, hey, brought my friend, never been to a track meet before. And there might have been 5 to 10 of those, but that's how I know that we're really starting to infiltrate Raleigh, is when people are owning the race and want to invite like their friends from out of town or who don't even care about track to come be a part of Sir Walter Myler. So I feel like we are now truly embedded into Raleigh, and the ownership is starting to be felt not only by the core team, us who put it on, but by folks who come and are a part of our pop-up miles and pop-up cross country and our other events. They're feeling ownership over what we do, and that's the goal. Because I do feel like we're track town east, if you will, and I think that comes from knowledgeable and committed. Mile town east. Oh, I like it. But I feel like it comes from knowledgeable and committed and just overall like Southern, like people who want to be hospitable, and the runners felt it. The race clearly is an exhibit of it, and I can't help but get excited for what's to come, as I said. So that's me, Pat.
Yeah, man. Speaking of, special shout out, Ray Flynn in the house.
Yeah, just kind of dropping in on us. You know, I mean, he was the one clearly saying this is our largest crowd to date. You know, hey, it's Ray Flynn, so whatever he says goes.
You don't disagree with Ray. You know, best agent to the milers out there, Irish record holder, also former guest on the Summer of Miles podcast.
Yeah, yeah, Pat, I think you mentioned it earlier. When you do come on the Summer of Miles podcast, good things come for those who come on.
Very true. Speaking of the Summer of Miles podcast.
Yeah, there we go.
Speaking of 13 Americans running sub-4, if you did not check out the Summer of Miles tank top with the American flag colors on it, could there ever be a more perfect time to purchase one of these than to say you were there, you witnessed it, best American mile race in history? Go ahead over to the website, pick one of those up. We will ship it out to you at no cost. We'll throw some stickers in there. If you're close enough, we'll probably even go stuff it in your mailbox ourselves to save the $375 shipping.
Absolutely. But go to sirwaltermyler.com, hit merch on the bar up top, and see what's there. And just, yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, remember those awesome concerts where like you're like, before, I don't know if I'm going to buy a shirt, but the concert was amazing. And so on the backside, you like, I want to remember how amazing it was by getting some merch. That's like just like this.
There's your chance, for sure. All right, guys, we are going to wrap it up in a second, but if you're listening to this for the first time, or maybe even not the first time, if you're from Raleigh or close by, we will be bringing back the pop-up cross-country season. It's going to be Tuesday nights in October. We'll have the city championship again. Stay tuned for some more info on that. Not the Summer of Miles. That will be, once again, the Autumn of Trials. Mm-hmm. Right now is training time for that, so definitely get ready for some 5Ks and whatnot in October. But before we get going,
let's talk to someone who just broke 4 minutes for the first time.
Here we go, guys. Jacob Thompson.
All right. Well, it is good to be here with one of the newly crowned sub-4 runners coming off the Sir Walter Myler weekend. Ladies and gentlemen, Jacob Thompson.
Thanks for having me.
Jacob, it's good to have you. I saw via your social media that you celebrated your weekend in Asheville. Did you have fun up there?
Yeah. So I kind of planned this out. I mean, this was, you know, kind of the last, I mean, it's the end of my season. Been going, you know, all the collegiate season, and then went over to Europe and stuff this summer, and then, you know, capped it off with Sir Walter, and wanted to, you know, relax and get a little R&R. So my girlfriend and I went to Asheville, and I don't know, we didn't do too much relaxing. We went hiking all day and went out to the breweries and stuff at night. So it was a good trip.
Good. Well, I mean, enough of your Asheville trip. Let's talk about your Raleigh trip. Jacob, when your name was introduced and you ran through the fan tunnel of the start line, what was going through your mind?
At that point, everything started to go a little, like, you know, before you had all the butterflies and stuff, and as soon as you ran through that tunnel, it was like weirdly, like, all the butterflies just kind of went away, and, like, I had a really good feeling that, like, you know, that night was going to be the night that it happened. I mean, chasing sub-4 or something, you know, I've been chasing since my senior year of high school. It's something that I've, you know, had on my radar and something I really wanted to do. And being a 5K, 10K guy, I just don't get those opportunities that often. I mean, I ran 1 mile this year, and that was, you know, back in February. So yeah, I was really, really glad to have an opportunity being like a race where I know guys are going to break 4 in that race. I just got to get on the train and do it.
So during the race, what was your thought? Just let me get in here on the train and just don't let off?
Pretty much. I had planned on being kind of getting out towards the back and then just kind of hanging on to the back, but I actually got off the line like really well. I think I got out in about 6th or 7th place. So I just stayed up there as long as I could. I ended up finishing 12th in the race, but, you know, I was up in the top 8 or so until like about the last 200. I kind of faded a little bit there at the end, but
that's all right. That's we saw your 10K roots come to play. But
it came out, yeah.
That's right. But it doesn't matter because you ran a time of 357.07, which makes you the 521st American under the sub-4. Just walk us through those moments or those seconds when you finally realized that you had really had, what, a 4-second PR and actually got under the mark.
Yeah, it was about a 4.5-second PR, so it was really exciting for me. I mean, the whole race, basically once I came through 400 and I came through 409 and sub-60, and then every lap, I think I just kept running like 59-60s, and then I think I came through and I was right around 259, and the front guys, I was right behind Hassan Mead, and like those guys started kicking really hard, and Johnny Gogorek, and I kind of expected them to pull away from me really quickly, but they kind of didn't until 200 to go. And so once I got 200 to go, I knew I was going under at that point. It was kind of a question of how much I was going to go under. So that was really exciting. That's like, I think 200 to go was the first time I was like, all right, it's definitely going to happen. Like, just, you know, keep the wheels on the track right now.
Yeah. So when you saw the time, what was your, I mean, were you like, I mean, cause you broke 4 significantly. I mean,
yeah. When I saw the time, so there were so many people on the track, I couldn't actually see the clock until maybe the last 20 meters or so, like the whole straightaway. Like, I was pretty sure I was going to be under, but I didn't know it was going to be, you know, 3 seconds under. So that was really exciting. And, you know, just crossing the finish line and there's, you know, there's people everywhere. So it was really cool. I was actually trying to find my girlfriend. That's who I was there with. She came down and made the trip with me. I didn't find her probably until 5 minutes after the race because there's so many people. But it was, you know, everybody was like, was super, super happy because, I mean, yeah, 13 guys broke 4. That's just, I mean, unheard of.
Yeah, you were a part of an historic race. I mean, this was the most Americans under 4 minutes ever in a race in U.S. or international history, of course, being with U.S. runners. So you were part of an historic feat. So, I mean, Raleigh's always been good to you. Let's not lie.
Oh, yeah. I come back for Raleigh. I realize every year Raleigh's – I don't know what it is. Something about racing in Raleigh. I thrive. I do well in Raleigh.
That's true. You know, post-race, though, I have to say, you know, I'm following our social media closely. You're getting a lot of love. In fact, I saw Kentucky Mile Split. Had a little write-up on you saying you were the 4th Kentuckian under the 4-minute barrier. Is that correct?
That is. And actually, like, I mean, the funny thing, like I told you, I ran 401 in February at our home meet. A teammate of mine who's also a Kentucky native, we went to Clemson like 2 weeks after that. And you know, he ended up breaking four, and that it was a paced out race, and there were a couple guys went sub four, and he was one of them, and I ran a 3K. So yeah, everybody was always like, oh, Ben beat you to breaking four, but I think it was worth the wait, because it was super special to do it at Sir Walter.
Someone comes to you and says, hey, Jacob, tell me about Sir Walter Myler in one sentence. What are you telling them?
I think one word. I think the fans. I've never been a part of anything like that. Like, I mean, really the whole race, like I was just focused on getting through the turns, because like the crowd and the fans they just carried you the whole home straight and the back straight. I knew they had people down on the track, but just looking at the pictures afterwards, and it's not just like one row. There's five rows deep on the infield and then the fourth lane. It was pretty, it just kind of carries you through. It just kind of takes away. It's so loud. You're just running through like a tunnel. It was pretty awesome.
All right. Apart from the race, your favorite part of the weekend was what?
Favorite part of the weekend?
Besides seeing me again. I'm gonna put
besides seeing you guys, I would say afterwards at the bar at Raleigh Brewing, there was just so many of the fans and stuff came across, and they wanted to, you know, right after the race, everybody wanted to, you know, take pictures with you and everything. That was cool. But even, you know, hours later, there's still, you know, the guys who ran 40 years ago coming and telling me stories about when they did this and that and hanging around. That's one thing I really love, is just like about running community in general, is like everybody can get together, have a couple drinks, and, you know, just talk about. I love just sitting around talking track. Like, that's one of my favorite things to do with my friends now. So that was pretty cool for me.
Okay, well, cool, Jacob. Well, we're going to start wrapping this thing down. Your next move is to Boston, and you are joining. Tell the folks listening who you're joining, and just give us a little brief on that.
Yeah, end of the month, I'm moving up to Boston. I joined the Boston Athletic Association, so I'll be moving up there. Ricardo Santos is the coach up there, and they're kind of trying to reamp the men's team, the men's side of the roster, and I'm excited to be part of that.
Awesome. Well, I think without question, Jacob, I think Matt Sonnenfeld, who is working for, of course, Ray Flynn Sports Management, your agent, said it best with a tweet post your sub-4 performance when he said hashtag Myler. So, Jake, I think no longer can you be only a 5 and 10K.
That was my goal this year. I wanted ended up PRing from distances from 15 all the way to 10K. I didn't want to be just a 10K guy.
That's right. Now you got that 357. Yeah, now you got that 357 to your name. So, man, listen, we were honored to have you. Congrats on being the 521st American. And I'm, of course, here with Pat. Pat, do you know what number Jacob was for us in terms of sub-4 performances? Or even the number, like first time sub-4 at a race?
I feel like we had maybe 10 before, so I'd say probably 12th. I could be wrong about this. We'll correct it later, but I feel like maybe 12th.
Okay. So that's somewhat forgettable, but breaking four never is. Jacob, again, congratulations. Best of luck up in Boston. We will be following you. And just remember, you get your sub-4 plaque next year.
All right. I'll be back. I want my plaque.
All right. Thanks, Jacob.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, that was a great interview with Jacob Thompson right there. It's always fun to have people go under 4 and 4:30 for the first time. That last segment was certainly sponsored by our friends over at Wicked Weed Brewing, who made the run for El Dorado, and our friends at Raleigh Brewing, who made that Sir Sandman, and finally, our friends at Hopfly that brought the beach beer. Fun to have them supporting the pre and post party there. And speaking of sub-4:30, here on the Summer of Miles podcast today, we have a return entry to the Sir Walter Myler, who busted that 4:30 for the first time, made the World Championships last year, and is just on a tear. Welcome to the Summer of Miles, Sarah Vaughn. Sarah, how you doing today?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
For sure. It was a lot of fun having you here last week in Raleigh, as it always is. But you really made that race. A lot of people, including some of our big sponsors, said, you know, when Sarah went with the pacer, that's what changed the race. Because last year, the pacer went out and nobody went with her. So when the gun went off, Jamie took off kind of at a agreed upon pace, and you went after her, but nobody else did immediately. What was kind of going through your head?
Well, my race plan is always usually to get off the line well, so that that way I can kind of have first choice on, you know, where to place myself in the pack. But my race plan certainly was not to get right behind Jamie. I just, you know, coming around the first curve, found myself in that position and nobody coming around me, and I was just kind of waiting. I was hesitant for maybe 50 meters to even close the gap between me and her, because I was just wanting somebody else to do it. You know, I was kind of, nobody tends to want to be in that first position right after the rabbit and, you know, ultimately be the second rabbit. So I kind of had the same game plan as everybody else. But after about 200 meters, when I realized nobody else was going to come with us, I just figured, well, I'm here. And I had one of those nights where I felt good and things were just kind of clicking. So I made a, you know, mid-race game plan change, and just decided to let Jamie do some work and use that as much as possible and just, you know, keep rolling with it.
Sure, sure. Well, you look comfortable out there. You know, a lot of times when somebody goes with the pacer and the kind of pacer steps off, whoever's in the lead gets swallowed up. But it seemed like you knew what you were doing. And when the pack finally did kind of catch you, you reassessed where you were and you didn't really miss a beat. Did you kind of game plan that, you know, a couple laps in when you knew that they kind of were coming up on you?
Yeah, I was listening to the announcer. It was actually pretty helpful to hear what they were saying without having to look over my shoulder a whole bunch, because you couldn't, I certainly couldn't hear anything behind, but that doesn't mean that they weren't there, because the crowd was so loud and enthusiastic and awesome. So I could hear the announcer say that I had about a 5 meter lead and then a 10 meter lead at one point, and I had to make a decision at about 800 to just keep pressing and try to extend the gap. And take a gamble of maybe getting rolled up by the whole pack down the home stretch and just completely dying, you know, because you're riding the edge on that third lap anyway.
Sure.
Or to kind of consciously like slow down a bit and regroup once they catch me. So in the moment, I looking back, I wish I had gone with option A and just kept pressing, because I, like I said, just had one of those nights where I was feeling really well. But in the moment, I decided to go with plan B and sort of let Jamie do her job and then just kind of cruise for a little bit, let them make contact, see who comes up on my shoulder. And I could have bet money that it was going to be Charlene. I just had a feeling it would be her, considering she's around 157. And if we slowed down and she was going to be in the race, it was going to be her, you know, kicking for the win. So she didn't make a move until another 300 meters into that last lap, which was later than I expected. But, you know, that's, it was her. She came up on me. You know, those straightaways are short, so I would say even like maybe 70 meters to go, and just edged in front of me and then cut down a little bit. So I fought back. I tried to stay in it, and I don't know, at that point you're just kind of racing by instincts, and I was just trying to stay in it and give myself as much of a chance as possible.
Sure, sure. And if you have looked at these photos from the finish, and of course we could see it live down at the finish line, you guys were scrapping right through the finish, and you actually hit the deck after the finish line. You know, what was going through your line there? Obviously you're fighting for the win. You're very, very narrowly missed it, but you probably knew at that point too, you were under 4:30 for the first time and had run a, you know, great race among that field. But kind of what goes through your mind when you're kind of just diving there and just trying to hold on and get the win, and then you hit the track?
Well, I had to make another mid-race decision of like when she kind of edged in front of me and cut down a little bit in front of me, for a split second thought I should pull up and go wide and run a new line around her. And then I was like, no, that's silly. She's really fast. And it's probably might cost me more than it's worth. So I just tried to hold my line, even though I didn't really have a clear shot to the finish. And then right coming up on the finish line with, you know, 10 or 5 meters to go, I thought, oh, I could still squeeze through the opening. So when I did kind of dive, I even like had to kind of turn sideways to get around her and avoid stepping on the rail. I guess at that point I was just thinking, stay in it and stay as close as possible, just to give myself one last ditch effort, to possibly steal the win. But again, you're kind of hurting so badly at that point and your brain's foggy. You just, I don't know, it's almost purely instinctual.
Sure, sure. Well, Sarah, you've had an excellent career. You've kind of bounced around. You have three kids, which blows my mind. You're a realtor in Boulder. Breaking the 430 barrier had to be something, but you've run 404 in the 1500 or what as well, made the world team last year. I know you have a sponsorship with New York Athletic Club, but what drives you these days? Like, as a runner who's done a lot of things, like, where do you want your next year or two to go?
Yeah, I get reminded a lot of how long I've been around the sport and kind of how old I am by, you know, when other people ask me these questions, I'm like, oh yeah, I've been doing this for almost 10 years post-collegiately. To me, it doesn't feel that way. And I still feel like I have a lot to give to this sport. I still keep improving every year. PRs are something that motivates me. And then I think just in the last couple of years with my husband taking over my training and him coaching me, that's really reinvigorated and sort of changed my mindset. For a while after Cassidy, having my third kiddo, I just wanted to, run one more Olympic trials and see how that went. And then even after the Olympic trials, I wasn't sure I wanted to keep running, quote unquote, professionally. It's a lot of sacrifice, and I just considered that maybe it wasn't worth it. But when my husband started coaching me and started talking about long term in the next 4 to 6 years and how much running I still might have in me, that was really exciting. And training has changed a lot, and I've seen growth and adaptation in different areas of training that are a little bit untapped. So that's exciting to me. I don't know if that necessarily means I'll be like switching events in the future or not, but it definitely to me meant that I had fitness to gain in different ways, pressing the mileage and pressing the aerobic capacity, which is something that I sort of neglected in the past.
Sure, sure. Well, and that's a great answer. And I think that drives a lot of us as runners, no matter where we are. But, considering you're still PRing, I mean, the sky's the limit. So I guess with that in mind, what do you have kind of on the immediate horizon? What do you have left this season?
So I am headed out to Cleveland for the first Guardian Mile on Saturday.
Sure, yeah, Colby's race.
Yeah, exactly. He and Nate Brannon is helping with the elite fields. So that'll be cool to participate in that. And then a couple weeks after, I'll head out to Memphis and do a mile on the track there. And then I think 2 weeks after that is Fifth Avenue Mile. And that's pretty much where I'll end my season. I'm pretty sure there's not a whole lot after that. So that's what my season looks like for now. And then I'll probably take a longer break and ramp things back up later in the winter than normal. Hopefully do a normal indoor season and then really try to push for peaking for U.S. championships next year to make another world team.
Sure, sure. Well, a couple more questions for you here, Sarah. Number one, I know the locals here listening to the podcast, they're very thankful to have you here. I know you've stayed with host families here, and you've been to Sir Walter a couple times now. What are your impressions of the event? I know you said some nice things on Instagram, which we certainly appreciate. But to the layperson that may have not been in attendance, how can you describe kind of your weekend in Raleigh?
I think everything from start to finish, when I got there was fabulous, really well organized, but also I think just really grounding. Like, I felt like I connected with so many people. At a typical track race, I might have one or two people come up and say something personal. But at your guys' race, at Shakeout the night before, we had all those high school teams there, and people asking questions and learning about the sport. And then the race itself, the obvious like physical proximity to the crowd is really cool and unique. And then even on my cool down after the race, I was running with some high school girls that were just asking incredible questions, and several people coming up and just, connecting and asking about my story. I don't get that at other races. I've never experienced that. And then even the day after at the run, I ran with some women who were like super motivating to me too. They have full-time careers and kids, and had a lot to offer from their perspective too. So it was really, it's a really cool weekend.
Great. That's what we've always kind of angled for. And in year five, I think the community's really bought in. So it's fun to hear that from you as somebody who has seen a lot. So speaking of that, Sarah, now I have a personal request, and we talked about this at Raleigh Brewing the other night, but as you know, my 40th birthday is in a couple months, and we're coming to Boulder in October with some friends of mine. Tell me one place I have to run and one brewery I need to go to.
Well, you could combine the two if you wanted.
That
sounds
good. Run
you could run this trail that I run from my house all the time called the Lobo Trail. It's this fresh gravel trail. It goes forever. You can run out to Niwot and all the way into Boulder, and it runs right by Avery Brewing, which is our favorite local brewery, and they have amazing food. And they do group runs from there all the time too, so you might even get some community that way, but it's a really cool place. But if you wanted to branch out and run one other place, my favorite adventurous trail run is a place called Batasso Preserve.
Okay, this is good. Mm-hmm. Duly noted. Okay, well, Sarah, that is that is what I wanted. That's what I needed, because I'm coming to your land pretty soon. But thank you for being on the podcast. Thank you for running Sir Walter Myler this year, and best of luck the rest of your season and beyond.
Thank you.
Another festival, well, here I go, singing songs that no one knows at all.
All right, and there you have it from both Jacob and Sarah. Both had great races. Man, I always get a little nostalgic. Well, get a little, a little teary-eyed, a little misty here when we start to wrap down our true Summer of Miles podcast series. And again, another epic summer. Man, it's just fun. These summers do fly by. Looking back from really starting back at the Rocket Mile in May, and then working through pop-up miles, and then, of course, with the Summer of Miles, we kind of cap it off with, of course, Sir Walter Myler. So coming off that, couldn't be more thankful. It's fun to be a part. I told Pat this the other day. It's fun to be a part of a legacy project. And I think that's what we're creating, something that we desire to do for the long haul, getting more people involved. But it's something that I hope that when we look back, and this was our way to really give back to not only the running community, which I know Pat and I feel very close and tied to, but also a way to impact Raleigh as we really try to bring people together through running, but look to also get people outside of running involved. So, man, Summer of Miles podcast. Pat, we're starting to, this is kind of the wrap down. Take us home.
Yes, of course, we will take a little break on the podcast, but we will be back in probably late September to kind of prop up, pop up cross country. If you haven't already, go to iTunes, rate us 5 stars.
5.
Maybe write a comment, say you really like Sandy. You can say that you like me too, but it doesn't matter. I think as long as it's like 20 characters, they'll count it.
Sweet, do that, yeah.
But yeah, go pick up one of those, some Sir Walter gear. That helps us get there. You can always donate to us as well at Venmo at the Sir Walter Myler. Or you can PayPal us, sirwalterrunning@gmail.com. We are a 501c3 now. Every dollar kind of comes towards us. We are throwing back in the program. So We do thank you for listening. It's been a fun Sir Walter Myler season, and we're going to keep this sucker going. So thanks for all your feedback, and we will see you on the other side of the Summer Miles, which is the Autumn Trials. My name is Pat Price.
I'm Sandy Roberts.
Thanks for venturing in on the Summer of Miles.
Let it get to you. Hallelujah, amen. Go on, kick me in the head. Watch me get right back up again. Go on, kick me in the head. Watch me get right back up again.